Well, good evening and welcome to Wednesday night service. We're so glad you came out tonight. I can assure you God's got something good planned for each and every one of you tonight. I have a little insight because He helped me prepare for tonight's service, so I know what's in store for you. It's going to be a good thing tonight. Did everyone receive a handout? If you haven't received a handout, we raise your hand. The ushers will get you a handout and be able to follow along. Everybody get one? Hey, how about that sight when you come pulling in there tonight, huh? Huh? Hey, praise God. How do you like our erector set? Now, I'm not going to brag, maybe a little bit, but I think we have the biggest erector set in all Cranberry. Amen? Praise God. I love to see that going up and watch them put it together. It's so cool. And as big as this building's going to be and as massive as the steel looks and all that, guys, it's not about that. It's about the large amount of people that are going to make their way through that building. All those hurting, lost, messed up lives are going to come in there and get their lives turned around. And you know what? You and I get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of what God's doing here. What a privilege, what an honor. And I mean, before I went to bed last night, I was just meditating, praying a little bit. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder how God looks at this. I try to always look at it through His eyes. I wonder what He thinks about this building and about, you know, I was just picturing the steel and stuff. And you know what came up inside my spirit? He looks at it as a little erector set. Our big God, this isn't no big thing to Him. He sees enormous amounts of people. He sees people all over this area that we live in, over the Northeast. And this little building is just a little erector set, just the same as I would be playing with Christian, the little erector set. It's not about the building, it's about the people. Amen? So, praise God, I'm just so excited about it. I know you guys are too. So, without further ado, let's get into the book of Ephesians tonight. This is one of my favorite books, so I was so glad when Pastor John called me that I got to share tonight. And let's get right into it and give you a little bit of history about it. And then we're going to kind of almost go verse to verse. We'll see how far we get tonight with this. But the history of Ephesians is Paul was the author. It was written around 60 A.D. to the Ephesians who lived in Ephesus. It was a principal port on the west side of Asia Minor. Actually, the city today is called Izmir. I looked it up online. It's a beautiful city. It's right there in the port. It's in the bay, and the ocean's right there. And man, it's a beautiful site. If you get a chance, look that up. And it's actually what we refer to today as Turkey. Okay? So it's a beautiful place. It was a beautiful place back then, but it was a busy place. And Paul spent over 2 years, 2 full years ministering in Ephesus. Now that's something in and of itself, right? Because Paul was a traveling, rambling man. And he was always on the move. He was going here, there, and everywhere. He didn't stay put 2 years for anybody. And to think that he stayed 2 years in Ephesus speaks a lot about what we're going to speak about tonight and what God's going to share about. And don't you know, because Paul was a preaching, evangelizing man, that if he stayed anywhere for 2 years, man, they got some revelation, they got some word imparted into them. So that's exciting for me, and this is a little bit different, and this is a letter to the Ephesians while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. So he had ministered there for 2 full years, he went to Rome, was put in prison, and he wrote them a letter, and this is the letter to the Ephesians. Okay, the theme of this book is called The Glorious Church. And we're going to see tonight why it's called The Glorious Church. Where Paul unveils the mystery of the church as no other epistle. Ephesians unfolds the process by which God is bringing the church, that's us, to its destined purpose in Christ. Everything we refer to tonight, guys, is going to be in Christ. So this is not about you and I out here by ourselves. Everything we talk about tonight is going to be in Christ, who we are in Christ, made available to us. Okay? This epistle is divided into two sections. Number one, the believer's position, chapters 1 to 3, which we'll be into tonight. And then the believer's practice, the practice of being a believer, chapters 4 to 6. Pastor John or Pastor Steve, one of us will be covering those chapters in the weeks to come. So you want to come back. But Ephesians picks right up where Galatians ends. We ended with Galatians last week and the weeks previous to that. In Galatians, we learned that it was all about grace, the grace of God. Okay? It's His ability in us, His enablement in us, His favor to us. Okay? It's not about what we can do. It's about what He does in and through us. In Ephesians, we're going to see what's been made available to us by the grace of God. We learned that it's by grace in Galatians. Now we're going to learn by what that grace is given to us, okay? What that means to us. I like to refer to the book of Ephesians as the now book. N-O-W, the now book. And you'll see why as we go on. Who I am now. What I have now. What I can do now. You might have never looked at the book of Ephesians. You might not even see yourself as a believer having these things now. But remember last couple weeks ago as I shared, Christian is a Palmer. He's born into my family, Jerry and I. He has a lot of things available to him. He isn't aware of them yet, but he's growing up into them. And just as Pastor John's been sharing the last couple weeks, you know, about maturing, we're maturing. Tonight I'm praying that we all grow up a little bit and we see some things. This is a very familiar passage we're going to be studying, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2. You probably read it 100 times like myself. But you know what's so great about the Word of God is you can open it up and He can reveal something new to you each and every day. That's what keeps me hooked up. I love that about God. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at tonight. So let's get right into the study and let's see what we as the children of God have available unto us. Verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians. It says, Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, Cranberry, Zilly, Mars, Beaver, and wherever you're from tonight, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints, to those who are born again. Now, we're not talking about the New Orleans saints tonight. They still need a whole lot of prayer. Okay? We're talking about the saints, you and I. You are a saint whether you feel like it or not. You've been called a saint, you are a saint, and we're going to look at this a little bit tonight. This letter, or this book, is written to us. If you can only see it as a letter written to the Ephesians, you're going to miss it. You'll never be able to obtain all that what God has for you. You have to personalize this, and you need to do this with all the Bible. You need to put yourself in there. That's why I said, to the saints that are in Cranberry, Zilly, Mars, because you need to see yourself in this passage. Okay? It has to become personable for you to receive all that God has in store for you. To the faithful. To the faithful is the church within the church. That's the dedicated core. That's you guys. You guys are come out on a Wednesday night. Okay? You're the faithful. So this means if you're saved, and I believe most of you are tonight, and if you aren't, you're going to get saved by the end of the service tonight. You're qualified. And qualified for what? All the things that we're going to look at tonight. You're qualified. Whether you feel like you might have come in here tonight and thought, man, I'm just feeling bad. I'm just down. I don't even feel like being at church, no one being qualified for something or feel like I'm chosen or anything like that. Well, tonight, by the time you leave tonight's service, you're going to look at yourself differently, I pray, in Jesus' name. Verse number 2. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey guys, you know that Paul starts all his letters and the epistles the same with the same admonition. He's always admonishing them to grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all Scripture is breathed by the Holy Spirit. God imparted into them to write these things. So do you think that maybe if every epistle, every letter opens up with that same admonition, that God's trying to get something across to us? Okay? I do. And I think it's a good thing. Okay? Grace, We already looked at this in Galatians, but it's God's unmerited favor, God's enablement, God's empowerment for you and me for whatever we need. For whatever we need, for whatever we're going through, and we're all going through some stuff. If you're not, you will go through some stuff. And grace will help you get through those things. It's not about you, it's about the greater one who dwells inside you. And just reiterating a little bit, because grace is going to be the theme going throughout Ephesians also. I saw this statement today and I thought it was great. I wrote it down. It says, grace is a force as well as a favor. I like that. Grace is a force as well as a favor. A lot of people, whole denominations, think of grace as just being the favor of God, unmerited favor. Which, that's cool, that's great, but it's a force also. You and I need that force. We want the force to be with us, amen? We got it. Peace. He's talking about, he always opens up with grace and peace. Peace is nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Well, hallelujah. Wouldn't our lives be looking pretty if we didn't have nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken? I'm here to tell you that the peace of God, He says, my peace, when Jesus checked out, He said, well, my peace I give with you, my peace I leave with you. We have the peace of God. We just need to develop in it. Okay? Peace. For your life and for your family's life. Now, you can't believe for it for your neighbor. You can share it with your neighbor. But you can have peace in your life, no matter what you're going through. You can have peace in your family, no matter what they say out there, no matter what's going on around you. I want you to notice as we read the rest of this first chapter that it's in the past tense. It's very important that you notice that and see that it's written in the past tense. It's already happened. It's already been accomplished. We already have it. This isn't something we're going to try to obtain. This isn't something in the sweet by and by. This isn't something that we're only going to be able to experience when we get to heaven. This is in the now. That's why I said I like to refer to Ephesians as the now book. It's what's made available unto us now, guys. Okay? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. There we go. I'm going to underline it. I want you to circle. If you got your Bibles, I'm praying that you're circling these things tonight. And if you don't have a Bible that you can write in, if you don't have a Bible that you can underline in, after tonight's service, you go back there, see Linda, get a Bible that you can. Okay? Because you need to make it personable. You need to write in that Bible. You need to take notes in that Bible. You need to make it applicable to yourself. Okay? He has blessed us. Not going to bless us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Important for you to see, it's in Christ. Okay, whether you feel like it or not has no bearing on it. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in Christ. Okay? And we're going to look at what's been made available unto you and I. With every spiritual gift, Pastor Chris, I said with every spiritual gift. And I didn't say it, the Lord did. He has blessed you with every spiritual gift. Where are they then, Pastor Chris? Where are they? I'm not experiencing them. Where are all these spiritual gifts? Well, the Scripture says, in heavenly places in Christ. And you might think, wow, man, that's so far out there. You're talking about heaven. Well, we're going to see, we're going to look at it from a different perspective tonight. I'm going to show you that they're just as close as your next heartbeat. They're in you. They're yours now. Okay? So back to the grace side. We don't get every spiritual gift we need for this thing called life because we're white, black, purple, orange, or red. We don't get them because we're Italian or Irish or German. We don't get them because our last name is Palmer or Moore or Nuzzo. We don't get them because we're a nationality. We don't get them because we were raised on this side of the track. We don't get them because we work so hard. We've been going to church for 100 years. We don't get them because we sit in the same pew every... We get them because of the grace of God. We get them by grace. So, quit trying to get yourself in a frenzy and try to make works out of this thing. Just receive it. Just accept it. Okay? We get every spiritual gift because of Jesus Christ who is in us. He's in us. Okay? What is a spiritual blessing? How about saving us from going to hell? Get an amen for that one? I'm one of those guys, I like to hear amen. Shout back, do something, man. All right, how about saving us from going to hell? How about saving us from this messed up world in which we live in? Amen. Hey, we're in it, but we're not of it, right? Amen. I'm so glad, man, because I can recall what it was like when I was in it, when I was of it. I can recall that, okay? It wasn't a pretty place. How about health? How about wholeness? How about peace, protection, and on and on and on? That's what spiritual blessings are, right? We don't even know all the spiritual blessings that have been made available unto us, but we do know those ones. Spiritual blessings, I have this in your handout, refer to divine privileges and resources available to us now. I'm going to keep emphasizing now. You got special privileges, Pastor Chris? Yes, you do. As a son and daughter of Most High God, you got lots of privileges. We have resources, Pastor Chris? You sure do. You have untapped resources that you haven't even ever tapped into, that you're not even aware of yet. He's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Jesus, our example, you know, I study Him constantly because we want to be more conformed into His very likeness. He never ran out. He never came up short. He never didn't have the answer. He was never for a loss of words. He was never caught off guard. Well, you and I can be the same way, guys. As He is, so are we in this world. We just need to develop in it. Okay? Verse 4. Just as He chose us, He chose us, say He chose me, in Him, in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Now I like that, before the foundation of the world. Listen to that, guys, before the foundation of the world. Let's read on and then we'll come back. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestined, past tense, predestined us to adoption, as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. So just in those three verses, guys, He chose us, He predestined us, and He made us accepted. Hallelujah. You should start looking at yourself a little bit different. Don't go by your feelings, don't go by the circumstances that are going on in your life today on the way in here, you know, even maybe walking down the hallway here. Look at it, what God says about you. He chose you because He loves you. He predestined you and He made you accepted in the Beloved. You know, before the foundation of the world, I like that part because we talk about the grace of God. Hey man, before you and I ever were, and before any of us ever were, before the foundation of the world, before there were people, God had you on His mind. That's a good thing. So He had made provisions before you and I ever even messed up, before we were even on the scene. He made provisions for you and I. He's had this thing worked out before the foundations of the world. Amen? So let's look. I want to look very briefly at this choosing part, this predestined issue. You know, a lot of people get hung up on that, and I'm not going to go in real depth with that, but I believe that we need to know a little bit about that so we have an answer when someone comes and questions us. So many times, guys, the answer is right there before us, and we don't even see it. So many times the answer to these questions and these issues that people get hung up on, they're right there in the Scripture. We'll just look and ask the Lord to reveal it to us. And this is no different. You know, a lot of people get hung up on predestination, or God's chosen. There's whole denominations that say there's only this many chosen. Okay? That's not what God's Word says. It's not that. It says that He chose us before the foundation of the world in love. That's the part we want to look at tonight. In love. Because God is love. It isn't one of His attributes. It isn't something He has. God is love. It's who He is. Listen to this, guys. This will clear up a lot of these issues about predestination and choice. Love always allows a choice. Love always allows a choice. Without a choice, it isn't love. Now I'm going to give you an example. Notice that Jerry isn't here tonight. So I can do some things. I can say some things like Pastor John does when Michelle's not around. You do not tell on me tonight, okay? All right. Here's an illustration. I use this a lot when I go on a mission field about love, okay? And I want you to just hear me out, okay? It's quirky, but listen to me. And about being predestined or about being chosen. All right. This is before we got married. I'm walking down Main Street, Zillionople. That's where I was born, raised, and lived my whole life. I'm walking down South Main Street on this side of the street. Jerry's walking up on North Side Street. And I look over and I say, "Woo, she looks fine." She's not looking my way. I'm looking over at her. So I make my way across Main Street and I walk up beside her and I say, "Wow, you look fine. How are you?" And she just keeps walking. She ignores me altogether. And I just keep like asking her questions and she just keeps walking until I walk in front of her. All right? And I say, "Hey, don't you notice me? I said, I think I like you. I think I want you to be my wife. I want you to come home with me. I want you to cook for me, clean for me. I want you to have children with me, and I want you to do my laundry." I pick her up, throw her over my shoulder, and I take her home. Now, you know that didn't happen, right? She wouldn't even let me get through that if she was sitting right here at the time. But listen to this. Here's the illustration. In that little quirky illustration I showed you, it never really happened. Jerry would never put up with that. She had no choice in the matter, right? She had no choice. There was no decision. I took her and I made her mine. And the illustration is there was no choice there. Love allows a choice. You could say that was a dictatorship. You know, I go to a lot of third world countries on mission trips, and they're mostly third world countries. And I can tell you guys, in those third world countries, they tell you where you can live, how many kids you can have, what jobs you can do, how much money you're going to make. You've all heard of dictatorships. You know where they're at around this world. And you know the results of those dictatorships. Haiti, Dominican, parts of Africa. They're oppressed. There's no decision. They tell you what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and when you're going to do it. That's not love. Love allows a choice. God is not a dictator. He gives you a choice. You can either choose Him or you can reject Him. He loves you so much, for God so loved the world. In that world is you and I and everyone that will ever be born. His desire is that none would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of His Son. But He loves you so much that He gives you a free will. And it isn't like Pastor Chris walking across the street and taking you over His shoulder and taking you home without a choice. He loves you so much that He gives you a choice and He gives you a free will. So I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, a lot of people get hung up on that issue. You know what? We have a decision. We have to live with the decisions we make. And we have choices. God gives us choices. So, now begins the plethora. I wanted to use that word tonight. I'm not big on big words. If I hear Pastor John say it, I wanted to say that, okay? I used to be the king of slang. And I want to be a good speaker. I want to develop myself, you know? So, I'm trying to get out of using those slang terms and use, you know, terms of, looks like I know something. So now begins the plethora of benefits that have been already made available unto us. Okay? Verse 7. In Him, in Christ Jesus, it says, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Which He made, not gonna make, made, to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. So, in Him we have, He made, and made known to. These are all things that have already taken place for you and I. It was a mystery, guys. In the Old Testament, up until Jesus, it was a mystery. But not any longer. Not now that Jesus came on the scene. The mystery's over now, okay? We can find out what the mystery is. We can find out about the Scriptures. We can find out what God had in store for us since before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that Jesus is the exact representation of God Almighty. I like that. I like that. For, you know, it's going to be very unlikely that you're going to see God in person. It's going to be very unlikely that you're going to see actually Jesus before we get to heaven. But you can see Jesus in other people. And when I see Jesus, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God Almighty. It says that Jesus did not say anything that He didn't hear His Father say. And it says that Jesus didn't do anything that He didn't see His Father do. So if I want to know God's will, I need to look to Jesus. It's as simple as that. Jesus is God's will in the flesh, made manifest to you and I, and the Word. So you want to know the mystery? You want to know God's will? Look to Jesus. He is the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. Verse 11, in Him, there we go again, also we have obtained an inheritance. Remember we looked at that a couple of weeks ago? We have an inheritance. Being predestined, there we go again, we've been predestined. It's already been planned out for you and I. So the works mentality should be thrown over to the side. According to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will. This is God's will for you and I, that we walk in these things. It's God's will, His plan, His purpose for you and I. Verse 13, in Him again, in Christ Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. There we go again. There's that inheritance. I like this. You were sealed. You were sealed. I think I sense a Stevie Wonder song coming up on the inside. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Hey, our names have been signed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can I get an amen? Amen? Come on now, you know that. We're sealed according to Ephesians right here. Okay? Delivered, you know you've been delivered out of some stuff. So we're signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours, Lord. Now see, that's the way Pastor Chris works things to remember. Every time I'll read that, I'll think of Stevie Wonder, I'll sing that song, and I'll remember who I am in Christ. I'll put myself in remembrance of what He did for me. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. I don't know if Stevie had that in mind, but you receive it how you receive it there. Verses 16 to 23. Let's read that whole passage, and then we'll look at it a little bit more in depth. Okay, here we go. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? It's like building and building and building. According to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Man, that's one of my favorite scriptures, passages in the whole Bible. Makes me want to shout. I mean, if you just read that and just read that, it just builds and builds and builds. And we're going to look at it a little bit more in depth right now. This is a powerful prayer that we can use for ourselves and we can use for others. Okay? We as prayer partners use this all the time for ourselves, for the services. You know, we pray for the services, each and every service we have. We have a pre-service prayer. You're all welcome to come back. We love be able to move out of that little room because there's so many people. And what a privilege to be able to pray for the service. We believe that we as prayer partners believe that's one of the main reasons why people get saved here each and every week. Lots of people get saved. Because there's a lot of prayer going into it beforehand. Anyhow, that's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. But the reason I brought that up is it's called one of the Ephesian prayers, one of the prayers that Paul prayed for the people of Ephesus, and what God we can use for ourselves and for use for others. And we'll look at this a little bit more. Let's walk back through this passage. Verse 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of them, of knowledge of Him. Who could use a little bit more wisdom and revelation? Amen. I know I sure could. I'm looking for it each and every day. How can I get more wisdom, Pastor Chris? I want revelation. Well, how you're going to get it is by spending time in God's Word. It's the only way. It's the only way to get revelation and knowledge of Him. Oh, you'll get some things by praying. Listen, I'm all for praying, man. You know, I oversee the prayer partner ministry, and that's a powerful force. But you cannot bypass the Word of God. There's so many people that want what other ministers have, that they look at somebody and they want to bypass getting into the Word of God every day. You can't bypass the Word of God, guys. In the Word of God is where you'll find everything that's made available to you. You'll find out who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Okay? So how you're going to get is by spending time in God's Word. For in His Word, He will reveal Himself to you. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. You know how many times I've heard, I never hear from God. He never speaks to me. I wish I'd hear Him like He talks to you, or like He talks to some pastor. They hear, you know, God spoke to me, and you hear Him say those things. You want to hear God speak? You want to hear God talk to you? Open up His Word. Open up His Word. Make time for Him. Give Him place. And I use this all the time on missions trips too. I look over there at Robin and Dawn because they've probably seen it 100 times. You know what? People say, well, God never speaks to me. I wish He would tell me something. I wish He would talk to me. Hey, dummy. Pick me up off the coffee table. I'll speak to you. Hey, dummy. I'll tell you everything you want to know. Just open me up. Hey, did you ever see God smile? This is God. Hallelujah. This is God right here. You want to see God? This is Him right here. The Word became flesh. You don't have to go beyond this. Make time for Him. Desire this like you desire your breakfast or your dinner or your lunch. Desire the Word of God. Desire to be alone with Him. Allow Him to speak to you. Give Him time. Give Him place. We're in such a hurry. He longs to speak to you. He wants to reveal Himself to you more than you want Him to reveal Himself to you. And He will. You just got to give Him place. You got to give Him place. Okay? Let's get back to it here. We got to keep going. Verse number 18. It says that the eyes of our understanding. What in the world is He talking about? The eyes of our understanding. I could tell you this, guys. It's not these physical eyes. It's not these physical eyes that He's looking at, but our spiritual eyes. The eyes of faith. He's talking about the eyes of faith. You got them. We just need to develop them. How, Pastor Chris? By using them. You should be applying your faith each and every day to something. Believe in God for something that's bigger than who you are right now. That's where you see grace come in. His enablement, His empowerment to do what you cannot do on your own. You've got to apply your faith, guys. You've got to be believing for things bigger than yourself. Okay? He's talking about spiritual eyes. The hope of His calling, His expectation. That's our expectation. Just as Jesus had an expectation, how in the world could He endure those things and go to the cross for people that He wanted to save and wanted to teach, and they turned around and crucified Him because of the hope of His calling? he had an expectation that beyond that cross, beyond that grave, he saw you and I. And you and I need to have that same expectation. You know what? Paul says, there's nothing can separate me from the love of God. Come hell or high water, I'm coming through. And you know what? Do what they will with this flesh. It won't be long before we're all in the presence of our Lord. It's just a short period of time here, guys. Okay, don't get all caught up in all this mumbo jumbo of what's called life. Be about the Father's business, okay? Just the same as Jesus. He had an expectation, the hope of His calling. Verses 19 and 20. It says, And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places? What's that talking about? Listen, if the devil would have known what would have happened to Jesus when he crucified Him, he would have never pursued Him like he did. He had never, ever done it. Okay? He thought, his cohorts thought, that when He was crucified on that cross, and He was brought down, and He was buried, he thought, I won. I won. And don't you know that the devil, just how slimy dirtball that he is, and all his cohorts, don't you know that they thought, we won. He's defeated. But you know what? He spent 3 days in that hellhole. And you know what? I could just picture it. I don't know this for sure, but 3 days he spent there. 3 days, don't you know that the devil and all his cohorts ganged up on the Lord Jesus Christ? All that sin, it said that he who knew no sin was made sin, that so you and I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Don't you know that every filthy, dirty, disgusting thing tried to attach itself to our Lord Jesus Christ? But after 3 days, that exceeding greatness of power, according to the working mighty power which He worked in Christ, raised Him from the dead. Oh man, could you picture the devil and his cohorts when he was raised from the dead? It's like, oh no. And then to find out that he can come in and live in you and I, there's a whole lot of little Christ gins walking around in this earth, and we're doing a whole lot just the things that he did. He would have never done it. Okay? That's what you and I are. We're Christians. Christians. Okay? We ought to be doing the same things that He did. And you know what? Just as Jesus defeated the enemy, you and I can defeat the enemy. We don't have to be subject to His lies and deceit and sickness and disease and all this turmoil that He tries to put on us. Let's keep going. Because it says that, verse 20, that Jesus being raised to the highest position. You know what? As He humbled Himself to the point of death by going to the cross, God raised Him up to the highest position. As you and I submit to the Word of God, as you and I humble ourselves to the plan and purpose of God's life, He will exalt you. He will raise you up. He will put you in places that you never dreamed of. I'm a living testimony of that. I mean, you know, so I would challenge you and I'd exhort you, my brothers and my sisters, to submit to the Word of God, humble yourselves, and see what God can do in your life. What He can do in your life. Verse 23. It says that in verse 23, let's go back up to 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things the church. He's the head. Verse 23, which is His body, we're the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The head can't go anywhere without the body. He needs us. We need Him. Jesus doesn't do anything on this earth without the body. We're the body. You are the body. You're the body. We looked a couple weeks ago in the Galatians 2:20 that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, the Christ who lives in me. Remember I share with you the distilled version of that, which I like a lot. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and my second existence is merely Christ using my body. I like that. Why? Why can I say that? He's using my body. Because, actually, guys, what we're going to look at right now, and this is the whole meat of this message here tonight, is when I was crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live now in this mortal body. It says, in Him, in Christ Jesus, He is now living through this body. Listen, when they've been with Chris Palmer, they've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they've been with Patty, when they've been with Bob, when they've been with you guys, it should be as if they've had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they see you, they should see Jesus. When they talk to you, they should hear Jesus. That's pretty heavy, Pastor Chris. No, it isn't. It's all by grace. It's by grace. It's about Him doing it in and through you. Are you open to that? Are you willing? Are you subject? Put yourself subject to that? I'm nothing without Him. You're nothing without Him. But listen, guys, we're not without Him. We're not without Him. And with Him, there's nothing that you and I can't do. A lot of people read chapter 1 at the end of chapter 1 there and say, that's fine, Pastor Chris. That's cool, but that's Jesus. That's the Son of God. How's that to relate to me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go reading here, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Say, I'm alive. Say it again, I'm alive. Hallelujah. In which you once walked. We once walked here. We're not walking here any longer, though. According to the course of this world, according to the price of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedience, that's the devil. Principalities and powers, the devil. We once walked with Him. Now we're separated from Him. Okay? Not any longer. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know that verse. If any man, woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm not doing those things anymore. That's the way I used to be. That's the way I used to act. That's the way I used to talk. I don't do that anymore. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to imitate Him, Ephesians 5:1. I try to think like Him. I try to talk like Him. I try to act like Him. Why? So I can have the same results that He has. Amen? It's attainable or He wouldn't tell us to imitate Him. Okay? Verse 4. But God, hallelujah, get down to verse 4 there. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Say, I'm alive. I'm alive. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised up together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I shared at the beginning, as I laid in my bed last night thinking about this message, I wanted to have God's perspective on what He thought of the building out there. That was just something I thought of. Guys, what we're talking about tonight, I'm going to wrap it up right here. We need to have a heavenly perspective about everything in this life. Instead of looking at it through these natural eyes, instead of us looking at it the way the world looks at it, we need to look at it in our rightful position. And our rightful position is seated with Christ at the right hand of God in the heavenly places now. Now. Not when we get to heaven, guys. Now. I am seated with Christ. You're seated with Christ right now. We need to get that perspective on life. Life is all about position. And let me tell you, we're sitting pretty right now. We're sitting real pretty right now. Whether you know it or you do now, you're accountable for what you know. You're sitting really pretty right now in Christ Jesus. You're seated at the right hand of God Almighty. You can't see it with these natural eyes. You got to see it with your spiritual eyes, with the eyes of faith. We need to see things with our spiritual eyes. Quit looking at them in the natural. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by faith in the Word of God. We need to see ourselves seated with Christ now. Everything that's been made available unto Him has been made available unto you and I. That's really good news. Jesus said that all that the Father has is mine. We looked at this last time in the book of John. And now He's saying to us, that all that the Father has is mine, and now I'm making it available unto you. Well, if you look at Jesus' life, guys, He never came up short. You and I should never come up short. You and I should always have every need met according to His riches and glory. We should come behind in no good thing. We need to look at it from a heaven's perspective. I lack no good thing. Because my Father loves me, and I'm seated with Him. I'm seated right beside my Heavenly Father. So, when struggles come, and they're going to come, guys, when temptations come, and they will come, what's the Bible say? In this life you will have many troubles, trials, and tribulations. What's Jesus say? But, take hold, I've overcome them all. And if He's overcome them all, and He's living inside you and I, we are overcomers. We can overcome them all. Amen? I need to see them from the right perspective. I'm seated with Christ. You're seated with Christ right now. What's that mean? This is what I'll end on. Verses 21 and 23 of chapter 1. Because it says in verse 6 of chapter 2 that He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, this is what's been made available unto you and I. That means that we are far above every principality and power and might and dominion. We're above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one which is to come. And all things have been put under our feet. And He is the head, and we're the body, and we're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now. Hallelujah. That ought to get you charged. You ought to go out of here with a little jump in your step. You ought to go out of here looking at it like, you know what, today was hell. I went through some hell, but tomorrow is going to be different. Tomorrow is going to be different. You know what? I might have gotten in a fight with my spouse or something, but when I go home, I'm going to look at it different. I'm going to look at it through God's eyes. I'm going to do it in love, just as He did it in love. Don't be moved by this flesh, guys. We are spirit beings. This flesh is temporary. Don't be moved by this world and the way it practices doing things. We're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places now. Now. We're to be ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. Ruling and reigning. Now. So, did you get something out of this message? Listen. Download this message. I'm not saying that because I mean, forget me. This is all I shared was the Word of God. In Scripture. Download this message and listen to it over and over and over. Get it down on the inside of you, and I can assure you that your life will never be the same again. Why, Pastor Chris? Because you'll have a different perspective on life. You'll start seeing it from the position that you're really positioned in, seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm moved by the Word of God. And hallelujah, He's moved me into a nice position. And you too. Amen? Amen. All right, will you close your eyes and bow your heads with me tonight? No one looking around. You might be here for the first time tonight. You might be hearing these things for the first time tonight. I'm telling you and I'm assuring you, you're in the right place tonight. You're in the right place. God brought you here. He knew before the foundations of the world that you were going to be here on this Wednesday night at Victory Family Church. Somehow He got you here. He wanted you to hear His Word tonight. He prepared this. I didn't. I was just a vessel. He wanted you to know who you are in Christ. He wanted to know what you have available unto you. And listen, guys, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, tonight's the night. Open yourself up to Him. He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. He loved you enough to bring you here tonight. I'm sure you had a lot of things going on. He cares about you. Oh, our God cares so much about you. We love you. We care for you. That's why we have service on Wednesday night. That's why we're open. That's why we're building a new sanctuary, because we love people. We care for people. We're seeing it through God's eyes. Please don't leave tonight. Please don't leave without knowing, without having an assurance, without an expectation that you're a child of God and that you're heading towards heaven. All these things have been made available to you, guys. It's as easy as making a decision. It's so easy. So easy. You just accept it. So if you've never made that decision, tonight's the night. I know this about the Holy Spirit, that He's speaking to you right now. Because I just know. I know. He's got a little tug on your heart. And when I say, please raise your hand if you never made that decision, you want to make that decision tonight, please don't resist Him. Please don't resist. So if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you just to please raise up your hand, put it right back down. No one's going to see you. No one's going to call you out. No one's going to make you come forward. It's just between you and God. So if you never made that decision before, just put up your hand real quick. Put it back down. We'll pray for you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Well, praise God. We're all family then. All right?